baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight. Cream corn tonight. You are too kind.
Too honest.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
Is the corn pleased this week?
I think they've started harvesting the corn. Oh. I noticed some of it was taken. So the corn is pleased.
The corn is pleased. We are close to Halloween, or Halloween season, I should say. We're ready for it. And this is a horror-centric. There's a lot of themes of horror films in this podcast, as you listeners know. And what better person to talk about than Robert Patterson, the author, blogger, and the host of SetJetter.com, here for Set Jetter Saturday. So I'm excited for Halloween. How about yourself?
Me too. I mean, it is the most special time of year, you know. So the weather is finally kind of chilled out a little bit here. So it feels like this is the season. Ooh, and I was taking my
first frost.
Yeah, I was taking my cat for a walk tonight, and it was dusk, and it seemed my neighborhood seemed very poltergeisty. I don't know if it was the clouds or what, but
I got that vibe. I saw your post on social media, and I felt the poltergeisty vibe.
Yes.
We had some cool weather, 82 degrees, 80 degrees for 2 weeks. Back to 102 today.
Woo! Is it supposed to cool down by the time I get out there?
It will. It's going to cool down Thursday back down to the 80s. Gotcha. A cool 82.
I'm going to have to pull out my shorts. I'm looking. Well, fall also gives me an excuse to wear a hoodie, kind of to hide my gut a little bit. So
I know. No, not the gut. I'm not saying I know to the gut, but I get the hoodie.
That's exactly what you were saying.
I'm like, oh, thank God you have something to cover that thing. No, but that's aside from seeing my family, anybody will tell you that knows me, the thing I miss the most about the East Coast is the changing of the seasons and being able to wear the fall winter wardrobe. You have so many options: sweaters, sweater vests, buttons downs, hoodies. Or the summer, it's like polo shirt or short sleeve. What do you, you know? It's I miss that so much. I used to love, still do love this time of year, but just I love the changing of the seasons and
LA has the changing of, you know, seasons from 100 degrees to 80 degrees.
LA used to be a place, at least California as a whole, that people would move to for the weather.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it used to be like, oh, the best weather. I mean, we can still brag about that in January when it's 6 degrees everywhere else and we have like 75. But that's it. Other than that, it's like, oh, it's just too hot.
Yeah. What global warming? What
are they talking about? But we got a great show tonight. We're going to kick it off with what you've been watching. Robert, I love your list. So let's start it off with you. What you been watching?
So in the theaters, I went to see Pearl, which has been getting kind of some mixed reviews, I think, from what I can tell. So I think for the horror crowd, it wasn't horror-ish enough. But I liked it. The friends that I was with were kind of like so-so about it. And there's other people that, as they're coming out of the theater, couldn't stand it. But I felt like as a character study, Mia Goth was just fantastic and I enjoyed
it. She's adorable too. I've seen great, read great reviews, but heard good things about it. But I have caught the gist of some of the mixed feelings. But was it one of those things people like didn't understand it, or they did? Like, what's the deal with that?
I think they wanted another X, and this is obviously not, you know. So
right. Okay,
I'm not quite sure. Yeah, and then there is one scene that goes on way too long, uncut. Monologue
really,
yeah, which
it's
is
like too much.
If I wasn't at Alamo, I would have brought out my phone at some point, but and it came near the end. I'm like, well, this is actor's fodder, you know, like
right
showing off what Mia can do, which is sometimes fine, but you know,
Yeah, you can pick up on that easily too. In a lot of things where you're watching it, you're like, I get it. You train classically, you can act, but like, this is overkill.
Yep. And I don't know the relationship, but then I was like, is this a director actress
right.
thing, you know, but
yeah, anyway. Like who's doing but what?
It's better than a lot of stuff out there. What I haven't seen, which I keep hearing I need to, and it's on my to-do list, is Barbarian. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, the last movie I went to go see, I was waiting for my friend and a guy came out of Barbarian that I know. And he was just like,
no
electric, shaking. He's like, I'm still processing all this. I'm like, oh, I guess I do need to go see this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes from somebody you like respect their opinion on it, like it hits, you know, deeper depths of yeah. like, okay, I need to see this now.
There must be something there. But that is going to go. Are you still there?
I'm still here. It did cut out for a second.
Okay. Everything's still good.
What did I touch? You didn't okay. touch anything. We stopped. I didn't say I was scared. I said children get scared.
The movie Stop. That I was.
Sorry. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay.
The movie I was going to go see was Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Andy. Oh my God. I share that.
My dad.
When I play with the cats, I go, oh my gosh. When they like do something, I have to.
Oh, they're like so dramatic. But yeah, so it's, oh, and I've never told anybody on, you know, on Alamo where people, but there was a lady behind us that I felt like she hasn't seen a movie since Smokey and the Bandit, because she didn't know what was going on. And there's a lot of, oh my, oh, like, it was just
no.
like, and it wasn't quite talking, but I'm like, oh, shut up, you know.
I know. The under the breath is, I think, worse than talking because
yeah.
they're not committing to annoying you intentionally. They're just obnoxious yeah. indirectly. So you're like, just own it at this point.
But the 3D was pretty decent. And I've seen it a couple times now in the proper 3D. And people, when the Friday 13th Part 3 comes out and punches out, you know, again,
yeah.
that gets like the audience is always, oh, you know, it gets some audible gasps.
Oh yeah!
At how good the 3D works, and then people giggling, you know, anytime you know Harold is putting something in the
right
frame and stuff like that,
and the music too, the the synth, I love it.
And of course, yeah, and so obviously this year is the 40th anniversary, and was it last year I was at the barn, and so it was just kind of nice to see it on the big screen again.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see that. Pretty cool.
And to see Chili on the big screen.
Yeah, you gotta love you. Oh my God.
Be a man, man.
Be a man, man. What's the thing that you have of her on it? You had some kind of like memorabilia.
Where she.
The glasses?
There's the glasses. So on yeah. one side of the 3D glasses, it's Jason holding her body with the poker sticking out of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and they just actually. I think the cinematographer just released some behind the scene pictures that have never been seen before of them kind of shooting that scene. So
no way.
So it's funny because you see these in your mind, you imagine this is like a 5-person crew, you know. but it,
right.
It, yeah.
I do.
It was a decent sized movie. But anyway, always good to see a nice Friday the 13th on the big screen.
And if you're curious, yeah, it is. And if you're curious about what Robert just mentioned, it is on Screen Rant, never before seen images that have been released, which I'm not going to look at them all in the show, obviously, but they're it's
we can
cool.
silently listen to you look at pictures. And you can say
clicks.
Oh my.
Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Yeah, but that's cool. You got to see that.
Small screen, Munster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story on Netflix.
Yeah, Ryan started Murphy. Watching that too.
Surprisingly, Ryan Murphy, obviously he doesn't, I don't think he directed any episodes. He didn't overglaze it or kind of overdo it. So, and it was pretty dark and disturbing. And I think they had some good directors. I saw, I know Greg Araki and Jennifer Lynch and some others. But yeah, and I know there's been criticism, cause there, I think people that haven't seen it, I think they're worried that there's a kind of like one that they're kind of, not idolizing Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, but just, you know, kind of making him appear.
Right. I can see their point of view to a degree.
But the, but for the most part, obviously we delve a lot into his life, but the most part, I think they give his victims and their families, and the racism and the homophobia that I don't think some people are quite aware of how he got away with. I mean, it was his pretty much white privilege that he got away with, how much he did, and probably would have been caught.
Yeah.
If, otherwise, but anyway, so
you were a person of color or something on the cops' radar, maybe, but yeah.
And people of color were just ignored, but please after please, and especially Glenda, her the neighbor. But but yeah. So anyway, and it's on my to-do list for all the locations this coming weekend. So.
Oh hell yeah! I love the scene where the neighbor is like, "What Glenda's? Glenda's her name?"
Yeah.
Like what are you doing in there the whole time? It's like, oh, you know, this and that. It's like when he's the actor's purposely, you know, being a bad liar. It's like, well, what's the smell? Oh, you know, something went bad, and it's like very, he wasn't even trying at this point.
Yeah. Now, but, L.A., you would expect that. Milwaukee.
Oh yeah, yeah, so, hands down.
So yeah.
Wouldn't question it twice.
But yeah, so anyway, it's a weird thing to say. You enjoyed it. I don't know if I quite enjoyed it, but it was a.
It's interesting.
I thought they did a good job. I got through the first episode of Andor.
Oh, how is it?
It's took me three sittings to get through the first episode of Andor. I was like,
oh no.
I want.
That's not good.
I should like it, but I was like, "Do I care?" I don't know. So maybe it's one of those. It gets better. So we'll see. Beverly. On the other side of things, Beverly Hillbillies the movie.
Oh, you rewatched it?
Yeah. It kind of came
for
up.
You.
Yeah, I was on a thing talking about Ernest, and I was like, Jim Varney, and I was like, you know, he. I forgot he was Jed Clampett. And I was like, you know, he did a decent job. And I always had like semi-fond memories of Beverly Hillbillies movie. And so, of course, I was like, well, let me give it a watch. And so I did. And, of course, went down the location. got to find every spot.
And also, that movie came out at like the perfect time. Like the Brady Bunch was coming out.
Yeah.
Or Flintstones. They like capitalized on those old 60s, you know, 50s TV shows. And
yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. And I think like Brady Bunch, I think they did it just... They got the tone right and were able to do it in such a way. So plus Lily Tomlin, Dabney Coleman, and Dolly Parton, almost all the quartet from 9 to 5, and were in a movie in the same scene.
Right, and there you go.
Yeah, I see a big cat tail.
Sorry, yeah.
No, it's good.
She's all over the place.
excited to be on the podcast. I've also been. I don't know if I call it revisiting. So and. I noticed you saw some Disney classics. Mine are kind of the Disney not so classics.
Oh, I like it.
That I went down the rabbit hole. I think it's Michael McGreevy. I can't remember. So an actor that he played Kurt Russell's best friend in kind of the early Kurt Russell Disney movies. And I think they are still best friends. And so I kind of went down and started trying to find these movie locations for so three movies: Computer War, Tennis Shoes, The Strongest Man in the World, and Now You See Him, Now You Don't. So those
nice.
Are the Dexter movies. So of course, mostly around the Burbank area, and a lot shot at the kind of Disney studios. So those are now also on my to-do list.
Yes, they're on the docket.
Yes. And then I actually did watch pieces of Exorcist 2 in honor of Louise Fletcher.
Oh, yeah. God bless her. Godspeed.
Was it last year I met her? I can't remember. So it was, she was at the Hollywood show, and I just goes, you know what, I'm glad I took the chance and opportunity, and you never know how long they're going to be around, any of us.
No, you never know. And if to the listeners, check out Robert's Instagram at @set_Jetter. And you can see this picture when you met Louise Fletcher, and you did, you know, reference your love for The Exorcist Part Two. And it's a nice tribute.
Yeah.
To her,
so. Yeah, and I do remember she talked about how she got so sick after, because I think they just kind of, it went on and on. I think it was kind of a never-ending production, and I think it just kind of wore her out. So, but yeah, I mean, she seemed happy and relatively healthy when I saw her. So
yeah, you saw her at the Hollywood Show last year.
Yeah, I think it was last year or earlier this year. I mean, it was not that long ago.
Cutting it close too. It's like, to your point, you never know when, how long somebody might have.
I know. I feel like there might be a little bit of a Hollywood Show curse. I don't know. There's been like a number of people, like her and Tanya Roberts and
Eddie Deason's career. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Was he accosting people at the donut shop or IHOP? I can't remember.
Something.
But yeah, and I was like, you know what? And this is where I go back, and this is why I'm booking a second trip to LA in October, because they have another Hollywood Show. I'm like, I would hate to ever regret there'd be somebody there, and you missed that opportunity. So,
right, yeah, you get to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
I finished watching Mike Tyson series on Hulu, and kind of paralleling what you said about Dahmer, in the sense that you think they did a good job about not glorifying it and doing the victim.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Hulu's Mike had a very Tanya kind of feel, where it's fun and campy, but then when they get to like something serious, in this case, you know, his rape trial, mm-hmm. they were very, very respectful of the victim. They did portray him like the monster that he was for doing that. And I felt like they even put the, like, if you're a victim of sexual assault, call this number. I felt like they were very respectful, as respectful as you can be in that kind of medium. So I give them a lot of credit. But that was episode 6. There were 8 episodes total. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a fun ride. They did a good job of balancing, you know, reality versus like fun cinema. But also they weren't glorifying Mike Tyson. They were kind of, if anything, maybe making fun of him a little bit.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Mike Hulu, Hulu's Mike was very good. I did watch 5 Days at Memorial and your suggestion on the last show.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great. It was, I don't cry at TV or movies ever. My eyes were itchy during sex.
Gotcha.
Season, I'll tell you that.
Jerry Jones.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can't go right. There's something about her that she seems just like authentic, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's say, I mean, there's times, obviously, she's running around. She looks sweaty. She looks like a real human being, and nothing against Vera Farmiga, but we didn't really see her too sweaty, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you're like, okay, I get it. You're sweaty and hot, but Cherry Jones, I believe, and she looked like somebody under great duress and stress during that, you know, period, that situation, and I believed her. And I feel like she did a great job as the administrator and what they did in real life and, you know, how they would act.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I want to bring her in to administrate stuff. Yeah.
Right. Administrate stuff. Did you watch the whole series?
I did. And I was like, I was trying to, cause I was, it came out episode by episode, and I was like waiting to watch a real life documentary just to kind of see that kind of their version of it, you know, and, or try to see, you know, how much was, kind of not fictionalized, but you know, they need to take advantage of different characters and stuff like that. But I thought it's been interesting to watch how people land on this, because it does turn into a, obviously, you do, you know, what would you do? Right. And there was no right answer, right. And a lot of people to blame,
it's a debate. It's debate inducing.
Yes. So anyway, it was good.
Yeah, no, it was good. I started watching Moonfall. I turned it off, and I started watching 5 Days at Memorial instead. So,
My friend Nick, who listened to us, he's like, he texted me. He's like, why did you make him watch Moonfall? Or, you know, and I encouraged him.
Really?
I'm like, you got to see it. And it is maybe there's another category. You're trapped in a hotel room. There's nothing else to watch except for Moonfall.
You're trapped against your will in somebody's basement. You have to watch this. You know, it pops up on my continue watching on HBO Max. So I will, as somebody with OCD, I will not ignore that list. I will watch everything. Usually it's a morning. I'm going to go back to sleep, but it's on and I can clear it from my queue. So I'll probably do that. But you know what? It was everything you said. It was like, you know, they're doing, you know, the thing's going out of orbit, the moon. Halle Berry's like, well, there's a space shuttle. The Endeavor's in town. It's like those things are stripped of any kind of flight readiness.
Yeah.
And for a museum, like you don't, it's not like a car where you just take it out and gas it up and you're good. Like, it was just so implausible. I mean, even for Hollywood standards, that I was like, you know what? 5 days of Memorial sounds pretty damn good right now.
I remember in real life when they were taking it, I mean, they didn't have to take down light poles and stuff like that. I mean, there was issues in even transporting it as it, you know.
Yeah, they had to cut down wires and stuff.
Getting it ready. And I don't know if you ever got to the point where you really only need two technicians to launch.
Right, that's all it is. Just two people with two switches saying, let's go.
Just ready. This red button, the red unmarked button. This is the one.
This is the one on my count.
I know in the Star Wars prequel, or I can't remember which one, they keep having Padme hit the same button for no matter what. Well, let's pull it up. You know, let's start
no matter
the
what
ship.
It
you
is.
Know, like, it's the same red button with no
writing. It's like a toggle. So I don't know. Finish watching it.
I look forward to more Moonfall.
Yes, more Moonfall. I saw Sound of Music at the Hollywood Bowl.
I miss the Hollywood Bowl,
which was fun. And the actress Nancy, I think it's Nancy Cartwright that played Brigitte, was there, and she spoke before. And it was fun, but go ahead.
Which Cartwright is it? Or
I think it's
there's Nancy Veronica, Cartwright. And then there's I can't remember.
She but played
keep going. I'll find
in
it.
Sound of Music, and obviously she's an old woman now, but it's
oof. Angela Cartwright.
Angela Cartwright. Yeah,
I think so, Nancy Cartwright is
Simpsons.
Yeah,
yeah. So right,
that'd
so,
be old. The one kid that can't sing.
Right, exactly. Brigitte came out, and but it was cool. We had our own row because we obviously bought tickets and their assigned seats, but I just looked for a row that had nobody in there and just said, like, let's just, like, a better row, let's just stay here until somebody comes, we have to leave, and nobody showed up, so we had like all this space, which is
that's
great.
The LA way.
It's the LA way, because if you think about it, in Los Angeles, as you know, statistically, people aren't going to show because they're flaky and traffic, and so, you know, people didn't show and we had this whole row to ourselves. It was great.
I'm sorry. I only do box seats at the
at the bowl.
Yep.
At the bowl.
At the bowl.
I wasn't too impressed with the bowl. We had to park.
Really?
Yeah. When we parked there, you're supposed to take an Uber, but we drove just because, you know, I'm stupid. So I was like, let's just drive. So they did tandem parking. Mm-hmm. You know, when you can't get out until you're at the mercy of who's ever in front of you. So I was like, oh man, if like a fire broke out, we'd be screwed. So I said to the parking attendant, like,
did you say that out loud? Did you create a Final Destination moment?
I did. I certainly said that out loud, but not to the guy. I just said it to my wife. And so I asked the parking attendant, do you need my keys? He's like, no, just hold on to it. So what happened when we left? The fire broke out and we were trapped there.
I saw your pictures.
Was getting out of control.
Another LA thing, palm trees on fire.
Exactly. It was crazy. And, it started, the embers were landing on people. Like, it was bad. Thank God, the LA Fire Department put it out pretty quickly. But we were stuck there, and there was only one car in front of me. And if they were gone, I would have been out of there. That person didn't come. I think they were the last person out of the bowl. And I was like, they came out, and I said, and I was already salty because people kept, but there was only like a narrow space. And my car was next to it. So like 100 people kept bumping into my car.
Yeah.
Which I hate. Like I was getting anxiety. So I opened my door and I blocked everyone. I said, I'm sorry, it's shut down. And they're like, we have to get by. I was like, find another way. Like it's shut down. Like there's too many people like bumping into me. It's like giving me anxiety. And they're like, oh. So I finally kept traffic going because I saw a lady in a wheelchair and I felt bad. So I was like, this way, madam. Let me help you.
You
want to
create
out.
That karma.
So, like, yeah, the the people whose car was in front of me, they came out and I was like, the show was over an hour ago. Like, what were you possibly doing? Like, I'm already really mad at this point. People are scared. I'm not scared. I'm like, well, I'll just run if the fire gets close. Like, I'm not going to burn to death. But, like, it was so disorganized.
You've seen Volcano. You know what happens.
I've seen Volcano and Dante's Peak. Like, what would Pierce Brosnan do? But so it was like chaos everywhere. But people were yelling at each other. And people were like, fuck you. And I was like, 10 minutes ago, we were just singing The Sound of Music. Like, what happened to all this jovialness? You know what I mean? Like, everybody was happy. It was the happiest place in LA. Right. And it's so I made the joke. I was like, the Twilight Zone, you take away the machines and all this. Look how quick people turn. But it was so true, though. We're in this, like, beautiful, lovely musical. People are, and it's a sing-along.
Yeah.
So you're encouraged to sing along. So everybody's singing along, you know, to how do you solve a problem? Like, and then 20 minutes out, like, society breaks down. And I'm just like, oh.
100 yards away.
I was like, this is the worst of LA that we have to offer. Like,
I only done tandem parking once there. And it was always, I did kind of had the same. It, like, took forever.
It takes forever.
And I think it was the last minute, like, I literally bought tickets.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I wasn't going to go. And I decided, and there was, because I usually like to park at the zoo and take the bus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's much quicker. Or they have different spots and stuff. Like, because the buses have some special tunnel they go through or something like that. For some reason, they get out pretty quickly.
Yeah, they do. Like, and there's a lot of them, too. It's a pretty good way to travel.
I remember last year at Halloween Kills, which was just down the street, at the Legion, there was something going on at the Hollywood Bowl at the same time. And you know that whole area is a bottleneck cluster to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, like, you just, whatever you do, you just count at 2 hours before and 2 hours after for that half mile.
Right. The second you get off the freeway, you're like, you just have to get comfortable.
It's like literally faster to park at, you know, Hollywood and Highland and walk than it is to. Right. Try to, you know, I could just walk from my Burbank hotel is faster. So
it is.
But Hollywood Bowl is great.
Yeah, no, it is fun, and I think we're going back again soon for something. And I don't know if it's Smashing Pumpkins or some crap, but we're definitely gonna take the Uber. it was like all people to themselves, like all men to themselves. Like, what do we do? I said to my wife, I was like, yo, the worst case scenario, we're gonna ditch the car. The Hollywood Bowl insurance will pay for it if the fire goes. And we're going to run over there and we're going to Uber from, like, some Hollywood Hills, like, street. But people were just, like, standing there, like, what are you going to do? I was like, you're going to run if it gets really bad.
People don't, you know.
I know, but they expect everything to work out. And I get that. You want to, like, get in your car and leave. But I'm not, like, risking my car, my life, so I can get my car out of there. Like, I want to live. So
you know how important cars are in LA. Come on.
Right, it's so important. But anyway, so that was the Hollywood Bowl, and then Disney classics. I just been rewatching, you know, Aladdin, Lion King, Pocahontas.
The animated versions.
Yeah, all the animated. I'm sure the movies that were made for you, Robert.
I was around in the 90s. You know, I was a little. I mean, I was older. You know, so I don't remember seeing too many. I remember seeing the Lion King in the theater and stuff like that.
But yeah,
the others were kind of like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They're kind of meh.
Well, you know, I was like, I'm in my 20s. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
But they were good. Yeah.
Lion King was the last one I saw theatrically, I think, too. But okay, so those are what we've been watching. Listeners, tweet us at @_podcastle. Share with us what you think. And we're going to do a segment tonight. Robert, this is... What are we doing next?
Well, we can do movies you can watch over and over again. Maybe each episode we'll pick one movie.
I like that a lot. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So, and I know you picked, I think that's yours. Is the first one did you pick or no?
It is. I picked Halloween 1978, the original. I don't need to educate Robert in this movie because he knows more about it than anybody.
Tell me about it. I never heard about this movie.
What is this beautiful movie? look at this shirt. The best shirt. I can just add my opinion of why this is one you can watch over and over again.
Please
because
do.
You can. It's timeless. There's so much cool trivia behind the scenes. It's iconic. It gave birth to the slasher genre. Am I right about that?
The late 70s, 80s. Like, yeah. So it was kind of like the Scream of its time, where like there were semi-slashers obviously before, well before it and stuff like that. But this is one that made money. And it was kind of a, it was an independent that could. I mean, yes. I still look back, you know, a $300,000 movie that made $50 million easily in the 70s, you know, that was.
Yeah.
And then, of course, studios like, we want that money.
Give us that money, money. Yeah. I will watch Halloween as people will watch It's a Wonderful Life for Christmas every year. It's just like, it's a tradition. It's traditional. You watch it. It's fun. There's just so many quotable lines. And your page, you've done great work on the Halloween franchise. And you know it so well. When Robert was in town one time, I was like, the Halloween school, what was that? And you're like, it's Garfield Elementary in Glendale or something. And I was like,
Alhambra, yeah.
Alhambra.
Everybody knows that.
I did it. No, I think you're better than you give yourself credit for. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure every set jetter knows that. But you know more than most set jetters. And it's very interesting to look at the behind the scenes and kind of the production of what took place, of like John Carpenter's cigar smoke in the scene. And, you know, it's just the lines. I don't know. I think you can watch it over and over again. Prove me wrong, people.
They took it. The thing is, super low budget, but you look at behind the scenes, they were taking everything really seriously. And John Carpenter in particular, I mean, he was so intentional on anamorphic widescreen to make it appear more expensive than it actually was. And, you know, Dean Cundey barely got away with the lighting, you know. I mean, it's still lit well. And it's lit better than a lot of things that we see now, and they had nothing, you know.
Right. But who's the producer?
Deborah Hill.
Deborah Hill. And she's done a million things.
She did, yeah, and she passed away in 2004 or something. Like, yeah, so
yeah.
I feel like she, or 2005. So she was groundbreaking, one for as a, you know, female producer, and she kind of set the stage for many, and she's still talked about. Obviously, we are still well behind on where female producers and directors should be, but she was definitely one that made the pathway.
And as far as, like, I know you've seen this movie 1,000 times. Will you watch it every year, the original, or do you
not really
respect it more? Okay.
No, I feel like I watched it. This is probably the movie I watched the most, but I rarely put it. I mean, I'm like, oh, I don't think I watched the latest 4K version that I got. It'd be hard for me to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But I did see, I mean, I know they ran at Alamo. We saw Halloween, all of them on the big screen, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and H2O. So I did see it on the big screen recently. So
was Halloween H2O released 98?
98, yes.
Okay. For some reason, I've seen like three articles or post shares about H2O this week, one from Seize the World, from Zach Morris, and two other. And I think because I recently looked it up or something, it's in my algorithm. So they're just hitting me over the head with H2O. So I'm like, I got to watch this movie again. It's been a minute. But
it's one of those. I mean, it was kind of at the time, you know, fans were like, it was too screamish and whatever. And it was too, you know, too kind of glossy. It had enough pieces that I love, and I think enough people kind of got pissed at Halloween 2018, which we'll be talking about, that now they look back at it like more fondly. You know, it's like, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. In retrospect, it appreciated more. And what do you expect in 1998? Of course it's going to look like Scream. And
they lifted the Scream soundtrack literally verbatim on some scenes, and so that's why, of course, it feels like Scream. It's the same exact soundtrack in some scenes. But
don't forget the scene with Janet Leigh and Jamie Lee Curtis. Talk about iconic.
One of my favorites that and I haven't watched CZ's World video, because part of me is like, what are you gonna tell me that I don't know? But I know that's the kind of cover, you know, things you miss, that she's driving the car, or version of the car, that she died in Psycho, and the license plate is the same. And but yeah, so I mean, what a perfect I think last, I would think that was probably her last role, but last scene with her and Jamie Lee.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, so I picked Halloween, the original. I think it's great. And Robert needs more shirts with the Halloween logo on there. There's not enough.
I know. I was like, you know, I'm going to LA this week, and I'm like, well, which Halloween shirt should I wear for?
So cool.
Who knows? Yeah, I'm going to come for Halloween Horror Nights and HorrorCon LA, which is a new horror convention. I'm a little skeptical about, but they have such a good lineup that it makes me weary that it's
you think
not.
It's fictitious?
I don't know. It's happened before where con isn't just a convention.
This is October 1st and 2nd at the convention center?
Yeah.
I didn't even know LA had a convention center.
Oh, yeah. It's usually doubles as LAX in movies.
Got it. Okay.
That's how I know it. I went to LA Comic Con there once a few years ago and stuff like that. So, but this HorrorCon, like, I just happened across it. Nobody's been really talking about it, but they have people there that I really want to meet, and like the Slumber Party Massacre reunion and some others that I've not met before. So I thought, well, I'll go check it out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you want to like say that you were there and do your thing.
Yeah, and the celebrity list is crazy. So, I mean, they have probably about 20 different people from the Friday the 13th series.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of them I met. Oh my God. They would bring her. I can imagine. A lot of the original cast from Slumber Party Massacre. Heather Matarazzo is going to be there.
That's cool.
Jill Sholin from Stepfather and When a Stranger Calls Back. So,
Mark Boone Jr., he's great. You know what he's in? Sons of Anarchy.
I do see him at conventions. So, but yeah, so they have quite the lineup. But
Jake Busey, is Jake Busey gonna fondle women? Or
I don't think I've met him before. Kidding.
I think he's okay.
He seemed to be normal. Christopher Collette, he was from the Manhattan Project. Oh, Whit Hertford from the kid in Jurassic Park. With the in the beginning scene.
Oh yeah. It looks like a giant turkey.
Yeah. So he'll be there. Yeah. So they got a good mix of people. So
it's pretty good. Is VC Dupree the boxer in?
Yes. Yes. So
oh, wow.
A couple people from Jason Takes Manhattan are gonna be there.
Who's John Fury? Is he
He's Paul from part two.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I might have met him before. I can't remember. So, Adam Marcus, the director of Jason Goes to Hell.
Mm-hmm. Noel Guglielmi, has better movie. I mean, Training Day. Is a good movie, but he has better movies than The Fast and the Furious. In his credit, he's a big time character actor.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But that's cool. How much are the tickets for this thing?
They were inexpensive, I think, but the thing is, like, I have such a big list, I'm like, oh my God, if everybody's $50
$30 for a basic ticket.
Yeah.
You're welcome, horrorconla.com, for the free promotion on the podcast. We'll set you at our Saturdays.
Yeah, this better
be
real
tickets. we'll check Matthew Clark at the door. That's what we need to do, start plugging these things, sending them the clips and being like,
yeah,
free tickets,
give us, we could set up a table.
Exactly.
we could do live podcast from.
That's what we need to do, is a booth at one of these, and people will be like, "Who are you?" And I'll be like, "Who the fuck are you?" And they'll be like, "What?" I'll be like, "No, it's okay. It's okay. We're friends."
You know what? We could a booth. We could bring our headsets and stuff like that and whatever. Yeah. And then somebody would like, "You're not even plugged into anything." You know, like,
"Sir, that extension is going into your shoe." Yeah. Yeah, these are the shoes from Aliens. No, they're not.
There's two guys from Aliens that are going to be there.
Ooh.
Mark Ralston and Rico Ross. So a couple of the Calvary guys, yeah.
Rico Ross played...
I think it was the African-American gentleman.
Yes.
I can't
think of the name.
I think Mark Ralston's the head, kind of short blondish hair or something like that, if I remember right. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so it's like...
That's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
I think.
So hopefully, I do feel like I'll get there and... do you remember Drop Dead Gorgeous when they finally get, you know, at the very end to the the beauty building and it's like for lease or whatever? I feel like I'm going to show up at the Civic Center. Like, oh.
It's going to be you going to Wally World.
I got duped. Yeah.
Right. I got duped. You go there and it's Sean Kanan, like, you want to buy a book? And you're like, yeah, yes.
Oh, I did finish Cobra Kai.
What'd you think?
It was fine.
It's fine.
It was fine, you know.
It feels too crowded, though, right?
Well, at some point. Well, that's one, I was super excited that, and now I forgot her name, came back from Karate Kid Part 3, the pottery girl.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love their intro because she talked about, you know, she was talking about making a pound of macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And she goes, I even got assaulted. And they just did the kick. Right. I was like, oh, I was. So that was my favorite episode, is the episode that she
was. That was a fun episode, the bar fight one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that is funny.
It worked, you know, it was like enough. It's not quite the page, because remember, like season two, you're like, we can't wait a year for the next season.
Yeah.
And now we're like, yeah, well, we know what's coming. You know, we got the jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. It wasn't the page turner. It was fun and it worked. And the actress that plays, I can't think of the actress's name, Peyton List, who plays the lead, you know, girl in Cobra Kai. She gave an interview recently and she said, I asked the director how old we're supposed to be. And she started questioning the timeline. And it was really smart because you think about it, it came out in what, 2017?
At least.
2016?
Or when it was on YouTube, I can't remember. Yeah.
Right. And they're in high school. And she's like, we're all in our mid-20s now. How old, like, are we in college? What's going on? And, you know, they kind of just left it ambiguous for the timeline. But I was like, good for you for questioning. Like, how old are these kids? They've been in high school for 8 years.
Come on. We grew up with Grease. So
right.
34-year-olds max.
The pink ladies.
Is you know, as a senior.
The pink ladies. Wasn't Stalker Channing like 34?
34. Yeah. She could literally have been the mother of a 17-year-old almost.
But it works.
Oh yeah, we didn't question it. So
hey, she looked great for being 34 in the 70s.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because think about it, some of those people that were 30s in the movies, they look like they're 50.
Yeah.
Because you know, as you get as time progresses, your people age better.
And I vaguely remember, you know, like when you're fresh in my high school, the seniors did seem really old and adult.
Yeah.
And now I see a senior in high school, and I'm like, are you in middle school? You know, like.
Right. Yeah, how old are you?
Yeah.
Screw you, old man. Get off my lawn. But yeah, so I'm glad you saw Cobra Kai. And we
Anyway, we're all over the place. But my movie that I can watch over and over again is, unsurprisingly, Aliens. If I flip it, it's usually on for the duration. So,
so good.
I don't know. You just kind of get into that mode. So.
Yeah, and you crave aliens. Like, when you bring up aliens, like you just did, I'm like, oh, I kind of want to watch Aliens again, you know?
It's a good, you know, level setter of the ways that movies should be.
And you have to watch Aliens before the other films in the franchise, because if you don't, all this bullshit that you think is so important for the franchise timeline, you can just kiss all that goodbye.
Oh, so good.
And they nail you right to the wall for it. Right to the wall. Oh my gosh. You can really watch Aliens for
I can. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I just love you know who I've grown to like, his character is so slimy, but he's so great, as Paul Reiser's character.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, you're dog meat, pal. And he's like, This is insane. This is, you know, he's very like calm up until the end. Like he plays the corporate asshole like perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, they're very like, do you hear yourself? He's just a grunt. No offense. You know, we manufacture him, by the way. He's just so like sleazy. I love him. He's just a great character.
He is. So one of the great, not quite villain, but what do you kind of call those subtle villains, kind of catalyst villains. So, but anyway, so that's my, if it's on, I'm stuck. So
you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Do you think that Lieutenant Gorman, who, you know, was fairly cowardly, inexperienced, redeemed himself at the end when he took the grenade out and blew them away?
I don't know if quite redeemed, because it's still a little bit his. It wasn't just his fault, I guess. There were a lot of missteps along the way.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he 100% redeemed himself.
No.
But I felt like, you know, he held her hand and kind of did the best he could in that situation.
You know who they needed was Cherry Jones.
They really did. If Cherry Jones was in there, she would have gave a speech and said, like, some quotes, and it would have been fine.
I could see her saying, we're just going to nuke it from, you know. I could see her, that's what we're going to do, everybody.
It's the only way to be sure.
And Vera Farmiga running around like, I don't know.
I don't know. Her character was okay. Cherry Jones was great, but Vera's character was very like, okay.
Right. I could see Vera's like, they mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Mostly. I did like Robert Pine. It's Robert Pine, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he played the older doctor that called her out at the end and was like,
yeah,
the Coast Guard was flying. Yes.
I was excited to see him. Just I had not seen him on the screen in a long time. I assume he kind of retired, but yeah.
I used to watch him in Chips in the 80s, and he was like older then. He was, you know, bald, gray hair, like late 40s then. So he has to be in his 80s now.
And see, here's my regret. He was at the last Hollywood show, and I didn't get a picture with him. I didn't know he was be doing something else. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And then part of me, he was like, oh, were they doing 2-for-1 for Eric Estrada? So a few Hollywood shows ago, I got a free picture for Eric with like Eric Estrada. So an autograph. Really? Yeah, there was confusion or whatever when I was trying to get my money. And then some other celebrity came up, and I was just kind of like pushed aside. And I was like, money back in the pocket. Back thank you. Yes.
Eric Estrada used to be the spokesperson for the company my dad used to work for, and I was going to meet him, but then he got in trouble. I'm not laughing at what he was in trouble for. He got in trouble for like domestic abuse or something, and they dropped him. But I was like, what about Punch? When am I going to meet Punch? They're like, there's no more Punch. There's no more.
It's done.
I was like, Punch. And then I read in the news like he. I was accused of hitting somebody or something. I don't really remember, but it was such a letdown. I was like 10. Oh, it sucked.
I'm sure he'll do another Hollywood show now, but
yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I like that you branch yourself out and go to these different shows, even newer ones, and kind of gauge the water of like what's out there.
Yeah. I mean, cause I was
your job kind of right to be, you're the Jenner. You gotta know.
Yeah. Cause the horror movie conventions, there's kind of, I would say the usual suspects, but some of these others, like Hollywood, they get a decent amount of horror movie actors that don't do the horror conventions, so that they're kind of a little kind of one-offs. So,
yeah, no, I get that, and you're starting to get recognized more and more too. You need to start getting a booth. People, I guarantee you, if you match the analytics of SetJetter.com with the guy that boxed in Friday, he didn't box. Punch Jason.
VC Dubrin. Yeah.
The Set Jenner has him cornered.
That's I don't know about say. That. So I will say that the October Hollywood show is going to have a few from the Brady Bunch of the movie actors going there. So
really?
Yeah. So the one I'm excited is Jennifer Elise Cox. She played Jan.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
oh, she's the best.
She is the best in there. What am I, invisible?
What am I? I got roses today and flowers. Jan, I think that's my favorite angle of the Brady Bunch, when Marsha is like, Jan, you're clearly not talking on the phone with anybody. But she still says it in the friendly Marsha, like, yeah, you're clearly lying.
Yeah. So it is when I wasn't going to the Hollywood show, and then I saw she was going, I'm like, well, now I have to go, because sometimes they only do one Hollywood show, and then they are never to be seen again. So,
right.
But
like Eddie Deason.
Yeah, well, we can only hope. So, so I know they're having, I think, Peter and Greg and Jan and Cindy are from the Brady Bunch movie are the ones that are coming. So,
oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah. So, hopefully, nobody cancels.
And this is at the next
October 21st or something like that. So,
at the Hollywood show?
Yeah.
Oh, in Burbank.
In Burbank.
Oh, that's so
all
cool.
Roads lead to Burbank.
They all branch yes. back there. I wanted to ask you, have you watched any of the new stuff that's on Peacock this month or anything like that? They're doing all kinds of like, not new stuff, but they're adding a bunch of Halloween horror-filled movies. Do you dabble your pinky toe in Peacock anymore?
Every once, I haven't dabbled lately, so maybe yeah. I need to take a look.
I'm sure you've seen them all. I'm always yeah. curious because every streaming network has gotten more competitive each year with Huluween and Peacock. That it's like, what do you watch? You know?
Yeah, yeah, and I should take more effort because, like, you never know. I mean, I could give it a few minutes and I could tell, oh, this isn't for me. But there's a lot of horror movies I have not seen.
I don't believe it for one second.
I'll believe it. So.
I picture you just putting your finger in a hard drive and uploading all the content released that year. And you're like, I've seen it. I've got it.
I do. Tonight I've been working on, I can't see myself, Massacre at Central High.
Oh, okay.
So I knew, it's like I can't remember, I think it was an actual movie and stuff like that from 76. So Kimberly Beck is in it, Trish Jarvis. And so I'm going to be out in Pomona, California, which I know that this is where they shot one of the exteriors of the school. So,
nice.
I thought, oh, well, I'm there. And then I'm like, I should probably watch the movie. I've seen it before, but I just got the Blu-ray. So
when you go to Pomona, are you going to sing My Pomona? That's
And this college is also the Facts of Life College.
The Facts of Life. Yes. The Facts of Life. That's cool. You got some good trips lined up there.
Yes.
And
I'll be busy.
Are you going to be watching Children of the Corn anytime soon, Robert?
I don't watch it usually. So I guess as we move over to our 2022 Halloween picks, I know Children of the Corn was your number one.
Always. It's always the movie I kick it off with. I always torture myself every year with that. I just want to hear him, Isaac, scream and go, Season!
Do you ever have a dream that the movie the credits don't start abruptly and that it just continues on?
I do. I really wish that they didn't run out of money at the final scene.
I think they ran out of it. They were missing the last page of the script. You know, right. Peter Horton's about to say, well, we could end credits.
Let's end it here. No, you just knocked a little child out. There's kind of more of a story to tell.
I'm picturing maybe the Stand. I feel like they should have a comic book, you know, of what happens, you know, the rest of that night and the next day. And like, one, they have no car, whatever. They eventually all starve to death in this farmhouse. Nobody wants to eat corn. Right.
What happens? Before we wrap it up, I want to mention behind you, there's obviously a Nightmare on Elm Street cardboard cutout, I believe.
It is.
Where is that from, Sarah?
This is from the video when the Nightmare on Elm Street 2 was released. They had this was kind of the video store standees and stuff like that. So,
oh, nice. Oh, I remember those. Those were so cool.
So I had one. This is the one I had because so I remember at the time I wrote Media Entertainment saying, how can I buy one of these? They didn't write me back. They just sent me one. And I remember it came in this huge kind of flat cardboard box. And it said, your nightmare has arrived. And I was like, what? And then
whoa, that's so cool.
I opened it up and had it. So I have pictures of me and my, actually not me. So I have my grandparents all wearing my dad wearing my Elm Street t-shirts at the time and taking pictures with it in the kitchen and on the deck. So it was a big deal to have that.
That is a big deal.
I had an apartment fire many years ago. So it was, the original was destroyed in that, but, I actually have two of them. So this is the crappy one that I keep out and I have a nicer version in storage.
That's because
I'm greedy that way.
You need to have it. I do like that they sent it to you without an explanation, just sent it to you.
Yeah, they just did. So I thought that was nice of them. So.
Yeah, it is nice.
This is back when you actually had to write physical letters.
I know, there's something special Entertainment, about
that. P.O. Box, whatever, in L.A. And
exactly.
Please give me something. Yeah, so I'm surprised they did. I don't know. So, and now they go for outrageous amounts.
I can imagine.
But
it's amazing. Yeah, so
I keep it downstairs next to my little Elm Street door and display and stuff like that.
But oh, the best Elm Street door too.
I'd pop it behind me tonight. So
yeah, I love it.
I was always fixated with his shoes and stuff.
It's a super nice touch.
Yeah.
The shoes that Freddy Krueger is wearing, yeah. Do you have a pair of those?
I do not, so.
No.
But it's pretty detailed. I remember I was like, oh, they did a good job.
And that was a promotion for the second one, the sequel?
Yes. Part 2, Freddy's Revenge, on video cassette.
Video cassette, the yeah, great VHS.
Media entertainment, so.
The quality in VHSs hold up pretty well.
That's the first time the only way that I could see it at the time. I was.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, me too. I had still at my parents' basement when I was there last month. I was scrounging around looking for things I wanted to take back with me, and I saw all the VHSs, and I was like, "How did we do this?"
You know? And now those go for outrageous amounts too. So.
Do they really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I should have kept on hold of some of those. But I was like, they took up so much space.
They really did.
But the VHS collection, yeah.
Right. Good to know they're going for a lot. I'm sitting on a gold mine then.
Yeah.
If you like Night at the Roxbury and Titanic on VHSs.
You never know. You never know what people want to buy. So.
There's always that one guy that's like, I'll pay anything.
I sold some of my Laserdisc when I was moving and stuff like that. And there's a couple I probably should hold on to. But like one of them was my Scream Laserdisc. Cool. But apparently is still the only unrated version of Scream that you can get is on Laserdisc. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's
it's gone. It's gone now.
It's gone. It's in the nether somewhere.
It is sold to somebody that probably appreciate it more than I do.
There's a guy that keeps reaching out. He went away. Now he's kind of coming back or came back a little bit. He wants to buy my Planes, Trains, and Automobiles script, which I'll never sell. It's like John Hughes signed it. Like I'm just, you know, I'd have to be really like in dire straits. But he keeps upping his price. And I'm thinking like, if you get up to like 10, 15 grand, man, we'll have to talk. But I know I'll always regret that, you know.
It is. And every once in a while when so I've sold a few items and I always regret it later. I'm like, why? You know, like.
Do you?
Yeah. So I had the hero costume. Actually, with a couple different shirts from Morgan from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 2003 version. So he kind of had the New York shirt. So I had the hero shirt, and I also had the shirt that had a hole in the back because when he was hooked, and his jeans and his glasses and his shoes. So it's a decent, you know, the guy was so skinny I couldn't even fit one leg pant over.
No.
But. I was kind of, somebody offered me some money for it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing anything with it. And I'm like, oh, I wish I should have. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I'm sorry that you regret doing that, but I feel like you're reafirming what, you know, I'm afraid is going to happen. You're just going to regret it and be like, the money's going to go away.
Yeah.
If it were $1 million, of course, but if it's like 10, 20 grand, I'll spend that. And
my sister sold her.
It's not worth it.
My sister sold her a popcorn bucket from Scream. That Emma Roberts is eating popcorn out of and stuff like that. And it's on the table, you know, when Emma throws herself and stuff like that.
Of course.
And there's a huge Scream fan that kept bugging. And finally my sister's like, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to do anything with it. And then I was like, well, it's going to a good fan. And I'm like, but then there's their regret. I'm like, well, now it's gone. It's not like, well, I sold this book and now I can buy that book again. It's
gone forever.
It's kind of a one-time thing. So, but yeah. So I get a lot of emails about to buy different props and H2O stuff, and I was like, no, I can't.
Right. Yeah. At that point, it's like I've had these for so long; they're sentimental. Like they're mine.
Yeah, but there's some wardrobe I could probably get rid of with no. Was it The Night Before? Which I think was kind of the follow-up to This Is the End, if I'm getting my dates correctly. So I thought, oh, this is going to be so good. I was like, oh, it's not that good. And I have, like, so many wardrobe
pieces. Was it James Franco's wardrobe?
I have a lot of Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen.
Oh, okay.
And kind of whatever. So coats and boots and sweaters or fake sweater, you know, like, I think I told you, like, sometimes they're wearing, like, if they're wearing a sweater, you know, with a coat on it, the sweater is literally just only what you can see on screen.
Oh, it's literally sewed into the coat.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So it just for their diet. Yeah. But movie magic.
I would wear those in real life. Like, oh, that's a fine outfit. I'm like, not anymore. It's not. Whoa.
It's a movie. Movie magic.
It's a movie. It's fine. Come here. Let me give you some Botox in your face.
Yeah. And every once in a while, I was like, you know, like, oh, I'll wear it to the movie. Actual movie. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, if there's a special screening, you want to dress the part.
Yeah. Like, oh.
They encourage costumes that sound to music. Unfortunately, the costumes I had from that period were not appropriate.
Were not.
No. From my funny rap video days. So I was like, I can't wear these.
You can't do
and
that.
I never would. But people really were dressing up, and there were some really, really clever, fun costumes there. So they did like the Halloween. They did a costume contest before. Oh,
nice.
And it was fun. The first prize went to they were called the group was called The Hills Have Eyes or something like that, or The Hills Are Alive. But they were the goats from the yodeling scene. And I was like, that was really creative.
Aren't
like
they clever?
The full costume.
Aren't those LA people clever?
Very clever. And then there were like some nuns, and you know, that was fun. It was a good crowd.
See, I like the kind of the B-list cosplays of the, you know, like, because I remember a few years ago in the Halloween 40th anniversary convention, they're like, should we have a costume contest? I'm like, oh, that'd be great. And like, only Michael Myers. I'm like, no. I'm like, I want
be original.
Yeah, I want weird, you know. That the fans know, you know, like somebody that ran, you know, the guy that, you know, walked by, you know, on the way to the clinic or, you know, or something like that. So I want all those kind of like don't even have character names. I think people would be more excited about.
Right. Like one of the deputies or someone with, you know, Halloween 2, the kid with the boombox or something like that. Like you. Exactly.
That would be more fun. But I do hope, because I have costumes ready for if they do for the 45th anniversary convention. That I think I should go as Karen Strode from Halloween.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Because I have the sweater. Actually, I have three sweaters. And I think I could, the Christmas sweater that she wears.
That would be next year then.
It is next year.
Oh, wow.
There's already dates. I have to look
Where's it at?
I think it's, should be, it's not confirmed yet, at the Pasadena Convention Center.
Oh, that's a great place to see
as well. Yeah.
An event.
Yeah. But yeah, so it should be good. That's all I'll say.
That's all I'll say. Special appearance by Robert Pattinson.
That's all I'll say on the air. But yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be our show for tonight. Unless, Robert, you had anything else?
No. Just excited to kick off Halloween season.
Kicking it off. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the podcast on Set Jetter Saturdays. Don't forget to check out Robert's website at setjetter.com. And we will see you on the set.